Welcome to Miracles of God with Pastors Joel and Annalisa Jones. How's your heart? King David said, "Who can say, I have made my heart clean? I am pure from my sin." Buckle your seatbelt and listen as Pastor Joel shares the reality of man's heart in the teaching series entitled, What is in Your Heart? What's on Your Heart?
Father, we thank you again. I thank you for calling us today. I thank you that you gave us life, that we were able to wake up this morning in our right minds. We knew who we were. Lord God, we were able to get up and we were able to do your will. So I thank you for assembling us here. I ask you to be with me, Lord, as I preach the word that you've given me, Lord, that you've given me through your divine voice and your divine hand. I thank you. Be with us, Lord. Let it fall on ears ready to receive and hearts ready to be transformed. Lord, if we're close to you, closer is even better. So bring us all, Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We are continuing with our sermon series, What's in Your Heart and What's on Your Heart. Okay, we spoke about the heart last week, and we said that the heart is what? It's a very intricate organ, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's a very necessary organ, because let's face it, physically, we can't do without the heart, right?
Amen.
We can't do without that old ticker. When it stops beating, we stop breathing. Mm-hmm. That's just the way it works, okay? And but what's more important is just as important as our physical well-being, even more importantly, is our spiritual well-being.
Amen.
It's the spiritual condition of our hearts, amen? You could say that the physical condition of our hearts takes us from here to there, meaning from birth to death, okay? But the spiritual conditions of our hearts, okay, determine where we go after we die, amen? That's important. That's important, where we go after death. And it's the spiritual shape or constitution of our hearts that God is most concerned about. God is concerned about our spiritual end. I like to say that the Lord is not so much concerned about your income, I-N-C-O-M-E, but your end-come, E-N-D-C-O-M-E, amen? He's more concerned about that. All right. So Pastor Annalisa read last week Jeremiah 17:9 for us. And she's so wonderful. So thank you, Pastor. But she read for us last week. She read Jeremiah 17:9. And it tells us what? That the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can know the heart? That's what it says. That passage goes on to say that it's God. It is God who searches our hearts and gives to each one according to the fruit of their doing. In other words, you might say that God is the only one that truly knows our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And you all might remember last week, I think Pastor quoted it, that she quoted Ezekiel 36:26. We talked about that last week. And in that scripture, we don't have to go there, but in that scripture, the Lord says, I will take your heart of stone, basically, and replace it with a heart of flesh. That's what he said. And you know why? It's because our hearts in the natural are very calloused. Mm-hmm. They're very hard spiritually. We hold hard-heartedness in our hearts. We do things that's for our own desires. And so God has to make a heart transplant. He has to do a heart transplant in us. Did you get that? He has to do a spiritual heart transplant in people. All right? Mm-hmm. And that's what he's saying in Ezekiel 36:26. Okay? And most times we don't want that transplant. We say, my heart is just fine. We think we're doing okay. Why God got to change me and do all that? Well, God knows our hearts. And that's why. It makes sense. It just makes sense. So then, it's key that we examine and keep watch on our hearts.
Amen.
All right? Just like the scripture we read, we've got to guard our hearts. We've got to keep watch on our hearts. Because after all, when it comes to our hearts, we want to be sure that our hearts are lined up with what? the heart of God. Okay? Spiritually. Now we know God is spirit. But spiritually, the metaphor is we want to line up our hearts with God's heart. Amen? Am I right? Mm-hmm. So let's go to our Bibles and see what else the Bible tells us about the spiritual operation of our hearts and what's in our hearts as human beings. Let's go to the book of Psalms for a minute, the book of Psalms. And we're just going to go to Psalm 51, 10. And I'm going to have Pastor read that one for us, please. Just Psalm 51, 10, please.
Psalm 51, 10 says,
what does it say?
Create in me a clean heart, O God, mm-hmm. and renew a steadfast spirit within me.
Read 11 also. I like that too.
Do not cast me away from your presence, mm-hmm. and do not take your Holy Spirit from me.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor. Amen. Now, that's a wonderful psalm, and in it we see that that's King David talking. That's King David talking, and he's imploring God to create in him a clean heart.
Amen.
And he says to renew a steadfast spirit in him. So in order to be renewed, he wants God to check his heart. You ever been driving your car and you just feel like it's not running right? And you pull over and you check up under the hood? Or you go to it used to be, you could go to a mechanic and say, you know what, I got this knock. Something's knocking, and I know this car is just not feeling right. Well, that's how it is about our heart. David said, create in me a clean heart and renew my spirit,
yes.
that I want to be steadfast in the Lord.
Yes.
That's what he said right there. And you know what? This is the uncanny part about this. This is why you have to read this word. You have to check it, and you have to reread it and reread it. I should add that this request, did you know that this request David is making to the Lord came to David after what? After the prophet Nathan. Nathan the prophet had to call David out, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He called David out because David's heart wasn't right. David had done something wrong. And the prophet, as he probably was afraid to do it, but he had the courage to do what the Lord told him, to go to David and tell him what he did with Bathsheba was wrong. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we can use this. We can use this as yet another example of the deceitfulness and wickedness of the heart of man. And listen to this. David was a man after God's own heart. Okay. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Lord says. David was a man after God's own heart. Yet, until the prophet Nathan came to David and pointed out David's transgression, the king was all but oblivious to his misconduct. Now, I'm not saying David is any better than anybody else, but David was a man anointed by God, called by God, chosen by God, brought by God, yet he fell hard.
Mm-hmm.
His heart deceived him. You see? And that's a lesson for all of us. Okay? Because until the prophet came and pointed out David's transgression, David didn't even realize he had done what he did. Or at least he didn't care. And that's why we have to go back and look at these. And let's go back. Let's go back to that text. Let's go to 2 Samuel for a minute. Did I give you that one, Pastor?
Yes.
Let's go to 2 Samuel. I think it's in chapter 12. Let's go there and let's read from just verse 7, verse 1 to verse 7a.
2 Samuel verses 12, 1 through 7a.
Mm-hmm.
It says, and the Lord sent, you said 2 Samuel 12, verse 12, right?
Chapter 12.
12, okay, 12, 1. Okay, I got it. Then the Lord sent Nathan to mm-hmm. David, and he came to him and said to him, there were two men in one city, and one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb, which he had brought and nourished, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It ate of his own food and drank from his cup and lay in his bosom,
mm-hmm.
and it was like a daughter to him.
Mm-hmm.
And a traveler came to the rich man who refused to take from his own flock from his own herd to prepare one for the wayfaring man who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him. Mm-hmm. So David's anger was greatly aroused against the man. Mm-hmm. And he said to Nathan, "As the Lord lives, the man who has done this shall surely die, mm-hmm. and he shall restore fourfold for the lamb, because he did this thing and because he had no pity." Mm-hmm. Then Nathan said to David, you are the man.
Thank you. What a story, right?
Amen.
And we don't need to even go into that anymore. Do you see how we can be blinded by our own hearts? We can hear a story and not even realize it's us. We can be in positions of authority, even in positions that have been ordained by God. And still it's possible for a person to be carried away by his or her own deceitful heart. That's important. That's why the Lord is asking, what's in your heart? What's on your heart? He knows, but do we know? You all know that song, you've heard it. It's all about you, all about you,
yes.
Jesus. That's how the song goes. Nobody else, because it's all about you. And what do we change the word to? It's all about me, all about me. It's all about me, Jesus. Nobody else,
because
it's all about me. I have to sing that every once in a while, because sometimes our actions prove it. I don't care who we are. Okay, basically, that's what happened to King David. It was all about David. And that brings to mind another timely bit of scripture. There's another scripture found in Ephesians 4:14, and it tells us that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. Okay, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. That's what it says. Now, if you study that text of scripture, you'll be able to see, and that's in Ephesians 4:14, you'll be able to see that text of scripture will be able to, will show you the condition of your heart, how our hearts line up with that, how much influence the heart has in governing whether we'll fall to devices. I said that last week. You can impose evil on someone by your wicked ways, and you can be taken away by evil. By our wicked ways. Depending on what we want, we can be drawn away by evil. Depending on what we want from somebody else, we can impose our will of evil on people. Oh, that devil is something else. And he works in people's hearts. That's why we have to come to the Lord and have that heart of God that we're talking about, okay? In David's case, his heart deceived him. He then, in turn, imposed himself sinfully on Bathsheba and Uriah. Bathsheba accepted out of fear, more, no doubt, but she still accepted the adultery. She still was part of it. But you see how the devil was wreaking havoc in the lives of people because people don't know their hearts, mm-hmm. and because we get carried away with our hearts, mm-hmm. and we don't know our hearts, and then Uriah wound up being murdered because David had to cover his sin. He tried mm-hmm. to cover his tracks. And the heart stretched out a little more deceitfully and a little more deceitfully and a little more deceitfully. That's what happens. An illegitimate baby was born. Then that baby was sanctioned for death by God, wasn't he?
Yes.
You see how sin grows like mold in your soul.
Hmm.
It grows like mold
in your soul.
Yes. Worse than termites.
Yes.
If you let that sin get in you deep enough, by the time you see the earmarks of it, it's too late. You're already addicted to that cocaine.
Speed.
You're already locked up doing 20 to life for that murder.
Yes.
Sin's got in there deep. You already been through 3 marriages. You already have a son and children in different places who don't know their father. Now they're on the street doing crime. Yes. It's the heart of the matter.
Yes.
That's why we have to find out.
Help
we have to. It's a domino effect.
Yes.
This deceitful heart. When the deceitful heart starts working in you, it's a domino effect. See, you can see how a deceitful heart can bring down a person through pride.
Yes.
Through desire. That's why we have to quote James every once in a while, James 1:14-15. But each one is tempted. He's tempted when he is drawn away by his own desire and enticed.
Enticed.
That's what it says. Enticed. And when desire is conceived, it produces sin. And when sin is full grown, it produces death.
Yes.
That's where we saw David right there.
Yes.
That's what we saw. That's what happened to David's life. That sinful desire was in his heart. There's also a scripture in Proverbs 16:18, I believe, that tells us that pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall.
Yes.
When there's pride in you, look to fall, baby. When there's haughtiness in you, saying, I got all the answers, I know all the answers, I don't make mistakes, I'm the best at this, I'm the best at that. Yeah, I'll move out the way. Somebody's about to fall.
Hmm.
You don't want them to fall on you.
Don't need nobody else. It's all about me.
All of these aspects, it's like tinder. It's like having wood chips in a dry forest, just ready to go up and explode in flame. That's what it's like. All right, that's the nature of sin when it's stored in our hearts, mm-hmm. Okay? Now do you see why the Bible says to guard your hearts? You've got to, we've got to. But just how is that done? How are we to guard our hearts? How can we guard our hearts and even know the state or condition of our hearts? How do we do that? Well, let's see. Let's see what the Word tells us. Let's go further. Let's go to these next couple of scripture verses I'm going to provide you with. And these few scriptures will help us, I pray, to better discern what we need to do in order to know our hearts better and therefore guard our hearts. I'm going to ask Pastor to take us to, you all know these scriptures, it's nothing new, but maybe we'll see them in a different context,
mm-hmm.
A brighter light. Let's go to Matthew 22 verses 37 to 38.
Matthew 22 we verses 37 to 38
mm-hmm.
tells us, Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God mm-hmm. with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first and great commandment.
Mm-hmm.
Go to 38.
I read 38, too. I can't hardly.
I did.
Okay.
I read it again. I'm excited. Jesus said, I'll read 37. You shall love uh-huh. the Lord your God with all your heart,
mm-hmm.
with all your soul,
yes,
and
ma'am.
With all your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And second is like it.
Mm-hmm.
You shall love your neighbor as yourself.
That's what I meant, 39. I'm sorry. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Thank you so much. All right. I didn't intend to put 39 down, but that's a good one, too. But I'm going to start with 37. All right. The passage of scripture, this is, of course, billed as what? The first, not only the first commandment, but the greatest commandment,
mm-hmm.
handed down from God to man. All right, and if you look at Mark 12:30, it'll say the same thing, basically. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, but it adds strength in that one, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But we get the point, we get the gist of it, is that to love God with everything we've got, amen?
Amen.
This is the greatest commandment. It says from this commandment, then you can do all the other commandments once you learn to do this commandment. See, that's what it's talking about. You see, God knows that if mankind can truly love him, if we can keep this first commandment, then we will come to naturally keep God's remaining commandments. Y'all getting that? Then we'll keep his remaining commandments. We're not talking about loving God by our standards, mind you. No. Because as you all know, when we love someone by our standards, it's only superficial love at best. Isn't it right? Am I right? I see you all little heads on Zoom. But I believe you all understand that. By our standards, it's superficial love at best. It's an on again, sometimes off again type of love, isn't it?
Amen.
That's right. You know why? Because it's natural. It's filial love, okay? A human being's love can be affected by the love they receive in return. Isn't that right? You say, well, some of you right now are going through some ups and downs with your spouses or your significant others. If someone were to ask you, do you love so-and-so? You might say, I love him, but not like that. Right? I mean, I love him, but I don't love him. I mean, you know, I love him, but I love him, but I don't love him. You know what I mean? That's how it is. You said, okay, let's put it like this. I'm not in love with him, you feel me? But what I mean, here it is, I have love for him, but I don't love him. You see, that's that human love. It's up and down. It's a sometimey. You remember that word that they use? Boy, you so sometimey. It's a sometimey type of love. Who sang that song, What Have You Done For Me Lately?
Janet Jackson.
Miss Jackson, if you're whatever you are. But it's that type of love that they're talking about. Yeah, see, right. that's why, to me, that's just to me, phileo love is like a phileo fish, because it just flip-flop. And the only thing, the fish that you get at the restaurant is more satisfying and can be digested even better. But you see what I'm saying? Back to the point, it's a phileo love. But God's love is agape love. And when you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, then everything else falls into place. That's all I'm trying to say. The bottom line is, in order for us to truly love God, it has to be with all our heart, soul, and mind.
Amen.
All right? This is very important. This is very important. These components are interconnected, you could say. They are interconnected. They work off of one another. So you see, friends, I said it over and over again, unless we learn to love God with all we've got, we'll always hold something back, something in our hearts. How can our hearts be purified if we haven't given our hearts to God? That's why he says that. Yeah, that's why he says that. We'll be holding something back in our hearts. And guess what? Our old deceitful hearts will use that to pull us away from God. You'll either be pulled away from God or you'll stay stagnant where you are. Have you ever seen people even in Christ? Been in Christ 20, 30 years and they're still mean and ornery. Right? I used that example before. You go to the buffet line and they give you some potatoes and they slap them potatoes in your plate and say, move on. And you said, can I get a little more potatoes? Move. Gone, brother, gone. It's something about that heart. We got to give that heart to God. We've got to really, really, really allow God to work in us. And we have to say, Lord, I'm going to love the Lord with all my heart, soul, and strength, all my mind. I've got to do that. God knows that if you do that, then you're in the right position. He can work with you. He can get your heart to a position. See, God wants to do a transplant in our hearts. He wants us to know our hearts, but we can't know or discern them unless we love the Lord with all of it. We give him all of it. Let's go to another passage, which you know. This is another very familiar passage for Christians. Proverbs. Let's go to Proverbs. Let's go to chapter 3. And we're going to go, instead of going 3, 5, 6, we're going to go to chapter 3, verses, what did I say?
You said 3, 5, 8.
Go to 5 to 8.
5 to 8.
Mm-hmm. Chapter 3 of Proverbs. Yes, ma'am.
Proverbs chapter 3, mm-hmm. Verses 5 through 8 tells us, trust in the Lord mm-hmm. with all your heart, mm-hmm. and lean not on your own understanding. And all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths.
Uh-huh, now watch this.
Do not be wise in your own eyes.
In your own eyes.
Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones.
Amen.
Amen. What's in your heart, saints? Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. This is Miracles of God with Pastor Joel Jones, sponsored by Spirit of Truth Church Worldwide in Fairfield, California. Thank you for choosing to fellowship with us today. To listen to today's message and previous broadcasts, go to spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. And while you're there, connect and follow us on Facebook and YouTube, And if you've been blessed by today's message, please let us know. Submit your comments, testimony, and prayer requests on our contact page at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. We appreciate your partnership and financial support. Financial donations are tax deductible and accepted on our secure website. Giving is easy. Simply click on the donate button. Join us for our weekly Sunday worship service at 1 p.m. and walk through the Bible with us live on Facebook, Wednesdays at 8 p.m. In need of prayer or encouragement? We're here for you. Call us at 707-759-5244. Thanks again for tuning in to Miracles of God with Pastor Joel Jones. Don't forget to tune in next week for the continuation of the teaching series, What's in Your Heart with Pastor Joel. Until next time. God is here.